I pray your answer's yes. I'll make your life.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio help.
Full of happiness. Hey, I'll be there by your side. Oh, I pledge my love to you with God as our guide. Oh, nothing, nothing, nothing in this world can keep us apart. Ooh, my dearest darling, I offer you my heart.
To Carol Cox Show, right here in Honolulu. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Lovely day, and across the nation, actually, it's summertime or early summer, spring, and some of them are still thawing out, but my friend recently made me a little nausea, sent me some pictures from Yellowstone. He's up there now, and I used to go up there and backpack and do cross-country. Stay for 9, 10, 11, 12 days at a time. Go swimming in Five Hole Creek and just go cross country and do the backwoods and walk around the bears. And those were the good old days. Now we're just looking for lions and tigers here on the city streets. But anyway, a lot of things to talk about, and you know, every man has a little boy in him once in a while, lest we forget. But, you know, quite often I hear people say, well, you should go to the newspapers, you should go to the TV, and you should go here and you should go there with your stories and da 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 da. And the reality is, we do that. And I'd just like to point out, if you see today's Star Advertiser, the paper's grace with the bridge issue out, Palmolive Bridge. And as you know, if you're a good listener here at KWAI, the Carol Cox Show, you'd remember that we talked about that. And actually, 2 weeks ago, we started talking about it. So I'm getting a little blowback. And I will, some of you know, and I may have mentioned it when I was here last, I actually filed a complaint against the mayor, an ethics complaint, Mayor Caldwell, for holding a campaign rally on city grounds. and we'll talk about that in time. I just received an email from Chuck Tato acknowledging receipt of it and assigning a number to it. So, again, that does not mean the mayor is guilty, but it does mean that he was there, in my mind, and unless there's two Kirk Caldwells, could be four, I don't know, it depends on what the subject is. But at that time, I witnessed Kirk Caldwell performing and behaving in a fashion that was campaigning, and he was the same day, minutes later and minutes prior to signing and taking oath that he would, if that he was running for mayor. So, very slick guy. And here's something that just really give you an indication. It's telling, I should say, of who you're dealing with in this administration, and not just Caldwell. The entire collection of politicians in the city, in the state, and even at the federal level, as it relates to Hawaii, they're not only corrupt, they're lazy and tricky. And I say that we have the documentation to substantiate that, but here's one. Today's paper on page 812, and I don't like quoting the paper or anything, but I will in this occasion. On 812, today's Sunday paper, it's regarding the rail. And then there's Formby, Mike Formby. This is a guy who's popped up on the scene, and he was DOT, Harvard's, and blah, 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 here and there. And he's stating, and here's a quotation in the paper. As bad as this sounds, to us it's good news, because now we're being open and transparent about the potential costs of this project. Is he saying that we have pulled the wool over your eyes for so long, and now that Hanabusa is on board, we're going to be honest? What is he saying? Look at that, and if you have a comment, I'd like to know, because I'm predisposed with my own mindset and after dealing with them over and over and over. But again, as bad as this sounds, to us it's good news, because now we're being open and transparent. Now we're being open and transparent. This is the same guy. Now he's admitting what we were not open and transparent in the initial stages. That in itself, in my opinion, should be a statement of, you decide if we get to stay on and do you folks business any further. I don't know, but I'm just projecting my own personal feelings and wishes on that. But the complaint that I filed with the mayor, and there's one portion here I thought I was able to, I didn't convert it to MP3 or MP4. But I will do that in the coming weeks, of the mayor's comments while on city grounds, I actually recorded some of that just to have the documentation that he was speaking specifically to campaigning, that he can't say he had just gotten a hot tip from someone and that the sewage treatment plant was going to leak, so he was down there to talk crap about whatever. I want to make sure that all the elements to document that he was pushing the line, fudging the line, and violating the law. And if not the law, the code of ethics. And that's very interesting. And so, having that problem that he has presented us, he, in his comments, he said, and I got to be very careful, because this is what it sounded like to me. While he was introducing himself and talking up the crowd, he then reaches in his pockets and pulls his notes out. And what sounds like, I want to do God's work, I'm going to hold my and be reserved on that, but it sure sounds like he wants to do God's work. Now, if someone has a better audio, let me know. But mine says God works or that work. I don't understand. But not to say that he's not allowed to say that, but I just found it striking. And then another one was that he made reference to God and then tried to clear it up by and when he was signing the document and taking the oath. He said, well, whatever God it is, you know. And it's as if you behave in this fashion. You displayed behavior that borderlines hatred of just a common person, the person, the less fortunate, the homeless. Many of things that you've done, and then you come and you insert God. So I'd like to know his God, because this is a dude that can publicly do things and beat people down, and then you come back and you're doing God's work. Or and I'm really interested in knowing, maybe there's another God that Kurt Caldwell knows about that maybe he should share with us. I don't know. But anyway, the explanation given was that they were in a free speech zone. And I've talked about this a little bit, but I had a question. Someone called me and asked me, you know, what is the free speech zone? Why are you harassing the mayor? And that's another interesting thing. The mayor and Mufi Hanneman even did it by putting having signs and a picture of me in every city building or facility, and many of them, to say, if you see this man, call the administration. So again, in this case, I filed this complaint. Because I don't believe that there's many questions. Are the workers there that participated in that rally, were they willing, freely, or were they concerned that they're a captive audience and that they would in turn be fired or let go or not be seen in favor or given favor if they didn't participate? And so even the managing director was there. So did they in turn compensate those people? And if they did, what compensation did they receive? And secondly, who in fact, or who in turn gave, sat in for them, or did the position, they took a vacation, that's what the mayor's office claimed. So if they took a vacation, who then moved up and set in for them? Or did they just say, the mayor's needs are more important than the people's needs, so therefore just leave the damn position blank and just come on out here and rah, 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 and hold signs and do your thing. And so there's many questions, and I began to tell you that you look at some of the social media when it was posted up in Civil Beat, naming me as being the one of the complainants. There's another, Timothy Garrity, who was running for mayor as well. And he's really not getting any playtime. I've spoken with him a couple of times. And it's interesting. You know, many of you out there say that, well, we don't trust the media. The media is serving us who they want to be in office and who they want to be our leaders. And basically what I'm observing, I'm beginning to believe that that is the way things are. And I mean, having material fact to say that, not just being paranoid or being a conspiracy theorist, but to simply say, I watched morning sunrise, and at one time they said, well, you talk to the mayor, and they said, you don't have anybody running against you. Well, they changed that after Garrity confronted them and talked to the front office at the station. Then instead of just saying, naming Garrity as a candidate, they in turn just said, well, no one with potential is running. So what if you were a hero, war hero, or done something and in favor of the people, and the people just happy to see you, and you return from this great travels of that you did so good around the world, and the people want to reward you and believe that the strategies that you employed abroad in other matters or in your workplace enable you to come and help solve the problems, and they want to work with you, and they want to vote for you and put you in office and let you lead them out of this horrendous situation. And the TV stations and the newspapers here say, well, he has no background, has no, and the question is, what is the background that you're looking for? This rail, for example, is enough to say that we really don't have any smart people in our government. We really don't. Whether it's approving the GET, approving the 1%, approving the rail, fighting the rail, voting it down, being honest, staying away, saying no at the dinner table, say, I don't want, Dave Ray, I don't want your $250 glass of wine. It smells like foot rot. You know, people step in grapes, right, to make wine, right? So how is it that, and I noticed that there are a number of stories that I provide to the, like, for example, this story on the campaign rally on the city grounds. Civil Bee picked it up. Hawaii Free Press picked it up. And KHON aired it. I sent it to KGMB. KITV called me and asked me, as strange as it sounds, that did we just heard you file a complaint? Now, I went to the Ethics Commission and called them and told them I was filing a complaint and what have you. And within 35 minutes, I'm getting a phone call from the TV station. I sent it to them. They dismissed it. They didn't. KITV didn't print anything. I sent it to KGMB. Didn't print anything. But the following day or a couple of days later, here's a mayor on TV saying, oh, playing softball, and if you want to throw up in the morning, watch how they claim, ask the mayor questions. They ask him about everything but except, they ask him about the chief of police ethics, but they didn't ask him about the ethics complaints that I had filed and another gentleman had filed and a candidate had filed against the mayor. So it's revealing itself to be, when it comes to media, and I try to respect them, and I go to them and give them stories, but at some point, you just have to say, look, it's un-American. You get an FCC license. We give you our trust. We tune in every day. We come to you looking for you to be balanced, and here you are promoting an individual with the ability to just ignore questions that of significance, and then you're diminishing the stature of others by saying they don't have potential or there's no one running, and you're misrepresenting the facts. So at some point I like the idea of being able to go to them and give them a story and to inform the public so that we can flesh out some of this bad behavior. But I'm not willing to continue to give you stories and in turn, at the end of the day, you fold them up and you shape them and you make them, or you just simply ignore and you dismiss them. And then we see the mayor down on Chinatown streets making tea cookies with the recipe that he found in the bus. You know, things like that. Nonsense. We are having serious problems, financial problems, management problems in government, fraud, waste, and abuse, cost overrun. You know, and so when you get that, you diminish a person like myself who come to you. I don't manufacture this stuff. It's just that I'm smart enough to go looking and digging and scratching and putting things together. So there is this, the current climate is suppress anyone that come to them with stories. And my life isn't built around stories and getting to be on TV, because we have a radio show, and as I say, just last week we talked about that topic, and there are many topics we've broken on this show, and then in turn being the first and exclusive, and then you see it on TV. Many stories. Stories that I don't even appear in. So there is something we got a little hum here. But there's something that, if you can, we'll pretend that this is still on air. I had a power surge here. We're going to take a break and check things out here. Sound like everything fried, but apparently one of the callers, and thank you for actually all the way back in North Carolina listening on the internet and let me know that everything's fine. Okay, well, we're back and just trying to share with you a couple things. This is the Carol Cox Show. And speaking of the internet, you can go there at any show at KWAI1080AM.com and listen live wherever you are. So if you I have this dream about being able to contact some of the soldiers over there, wherever they are abroad, and let them say hello to their parents, their families, and what have you. I'm going to try to work that out one day, and wouldn't that be neat? 2 hours of, hello, Dad, how are you? Hello, Mom, how are you? And I'm doing fine, and probably would make people feel good. But again, I'm talking about the state of affairs in the media and how things are being handled. And you do know that the Amano, the lady, the judge, Ricky May Amano, she is also on the Ethics Commission. And then they just appointed Peter Adler and to the commission. And Suimori, Ellen Suimori. Common Cause did a review of who donated money, and the two of them and their family members donated a good chunk of change to Caldwell. But Common Cause also said that they weren't connecting the dots or claiming that that it was to influence the mayor or something to that effect. But the question I have is this. Can we do our work if we have no investigators? Should the city have an emergency action and in turn fund, have an emergency meeting to fund the investigators? Because if you don't have an ethics department that's functional, then you might likely have a number of things occur. You might have the sitting mayor or reigning mayor go out on the city lawn and hold a campaign for his new run for mayor. And you might have others to embrace or join in. And you might also be subjecting a number of employees to a work condition that they are threatened or feel that they are obligated to be there, to participate. And I think the charter should be changed. I really do. I think there should be a visit. Not to say that you as a private person can't volunteer and donate money, but if you look at the campaign spending list of the number of people that donate money, you'll see the directors donate substantial amounts of money to Caldwell and a number of our employees. And so, is it illegal? Is it not illegal? But they say ethics is about appearance. The mere appearance should look wrong. So I don't know, but it's enough to trouble me. And a couple of things. You know, we talked about, and I'll talk about it some in the coming hour as well, but if you have a comment or question, 524-1080, I welcome any calls. But we talked about, this again is about the mayor. Now, this is a story that I've also sent to the newspapers, TV stations, and they've struggled with even talking about this. I understand that I've spoken at length to the reporters at the Star Advertiser, and for approximately a month now on this one story, and it keeps evolving and shaping, and then it gets held back. It keeps evolving because I suspect it involves the mayor. It does not reflect well for the mayor. And that's the campaign benefits if you are Kirk Caldwell and if you are going to run your campaign commercials, get your brochures printed, and you're going to get that, you see. So you're going to get the kid glove treatment. You understand? Someone's calling me on my cell. I'm not able to answer the cell now. I'm online, but on air. But 524-1080 if you want to talk directly with me for the time being or leave a message. But let's go back to digress a bit. I talked to you about and shared with you a story on the boat, the rescue boat, that as it was represented. And I'm going to, I guess the best way to do it is to bore the living daylights out of you with all the detail, because it, just telling you briefly about it and synopsizing it really won't have the full impact. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments. Hello? Well, Kurt, if that's you, call back. Anyway, let me just tell you, with this the situation on the boat. Now, you might find this repetitive, and I find it to be laughable, but I must tell you, you don't go to this length in anything unless you have a special interest. And so, going back to the... Go ahead, Carlo, come in a question.
Hi, is it Bill?
Yes.
Hey, Robert King calling.
Yes.
Oh, I'm listening to your podcast here.
Alrighty.
And you know what I failed to hear from anybody is the you guys connecting all of these projects together. Why is the mayor pushing Kakaako? Why is the mayor pushing Milani?
Okay.
They have to pay for the rail and everything else, and who's going to pay for it? The city's money comes from property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pushing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What about the sewer? Where's all the money gone? Where's the audit?
Mm-hmm.
City had an audit of the sewer. Where's all the money gone?
Right.
Parsons is 2 years behind Sand Island.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't they been audited?
Yeah, good question.
The mayor, basically the director of environmental, basically just told environmental services, they have to use third-party parts.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind warranties, never mind anything else, never mind trends about using third-party parts. We've had problems with third-party parts.
Right.
Pushing for third-party parts. Why?
Right. Well, thank you for calling. I did send you an email. There's a couple things. And while I got you here, let's talk about the ferric chloride. And if I could take a minute before we do that, to say that the police commission has a number of people on it, and one of the police commissioners is Mark Tilker. Mark Tilker, as you know, or may not know, is one of the officers in Marathon Group, or Phoenix Group, that manages BEI. A large volume of BEI's business is selling city trucks to, ordering and selling, in a bid. They get it in a bid now. I'm not going to impugn their integrity there, but also they sell the ferric chloride. Can you share with me, about 5 years ago, I had it and I filed a complaint and laid it out, and that there was a vendor who was providing ferric chloride for treatment of sewage at Sand Island and others, and they in turn were getting it cheap, not a product that was inferior. It did the job, and yet they took that contract and then gave it to BEI.
Well, let's go back about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had a small-time contractor providing ferric chloride to Sand Island.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the job, and he could basically just meet the amount that was required for our job. So here comes Murphy. I think it's right around the time he made came in office. We got a direction from the higher ups.
Mm-hmm.
Increased the usage of ferric. So we basically doubled the use of ferric.
That was when Eric Takamura was in, correct?
I'm not sure.
Well, when Murphy was in.
Yeah, basically right when he took off.
Right.
Right around then, something like that.
Okay.
And then, so we doubled the usage. All right, you small-time contractor, you can't meet our new demand. So we're canceling your contract, and we're going to put a new one out. BEI wins it. So as soon as BEI wins it, we go back to our original use. We chop down.
Mm-hmm.
If that ain't sketchy, I don't know what is.
Right.
And then we get a new superintendent over the last couple of years. And great guy. He doesn't play the politics game. He's trying to save the city money, the city taxpayer money. So he finds a third party, a small company.
Mm-hmm.
That can get the frac for, I think it was like $7. The DEI is charging like $10 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Small company is getting for $7 at a higher concentration. So basically we can get it cheaper and use less because of the higher concentration.
Right.
So this guy wins it, supplies it to us. DEI doesn't like it. And I believe it was like last year or 2 years ago, hey, yeah, we're going to cancel that gun free bid. And then when they did that, they also lowered the threshold. Basically, they told everybody, yeah, we don't need this threshold anymore. You guys can make a cheaper product or a less potent product.
Mm-hmm.
So now BAI can qualify.
Right.
So they won this last contract.
So they won the last contract. They lowered the city requirement for a concentrated one was reduced.
The third part, a small guy was providing a more concentrated, better product. It was better purity. Everything worked great for cheaper than what BI did. BI basically, give us a 70% product. This guy's giving us 80% product for cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't like that. We changed the requirements. BI can meet it now. They win it.
Right. And let me ask you a couple things here. So there's a requirement that, so the listeners will understand, we're talking about ferric chloride being used at the facilities. Is it Sand Island the only one, or are there others?
I believe there's others.
Okay.
Senegal uses it too.
So
BI provides Senegal.
Oh, Senegal. Okay, so let's look at it this way. It's poured into the system because they have ultraviolet lights that's supposed to be killing the bacteria as well. But the
the ultraviolet is something else. The ferric is basically used to help the poop settle out. It helps with the odors.
Right. And bond.
UV is on the back, and that's something else.
Right. But anyway, just so the listeners understand this, it's part of the treatment. So there's a requirement that they have X number of gallons of thousands and thousands of gallons on hand in reserve, right, in case it was. And how many gallons is that an estimate, just at Sand Island, for example?
Normally when we top off, we have about 40,000 to 50,000 gallons.
40,000 to 50,000, and we're paying, and that's just sitting there waiting for an emergency.
Yeah, no, we constantly use it.
You're going to use it, but you got to have on hand. And
yes.
Okay, so now at $10 a gallon?
Oh, that was original, yeah.
Okay.
Now we got down to like $5 a gallon.
So $5 a gallon, and we got about, again, you said
40,000? Yeah, 40,000 to 50,000. And you start using it.
And then how often do you clear that 40,000 out?
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months, so yeah. 5 times 40 times 4 months, 3 to 4 months. That's substantial, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the thing is, see, so BI, after they, whoever made the decision to lower the threshold, BI won it. The new boss for Santa, I don't know, he's been in for a while, he's like, I'm not going to play this game. So he fought it and put the bid out again. So a third company, a small company won the bid again. The same guy who was in providing the cheaper product at a higher concentration, he won it again.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it down to like $5 a gallon, something like that.
Right.
So it makes you wonder, how is it that BEI was charging us $10, $9, $8, $7 at a lower concentration? And this guy, small company, can get it so cheap.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that this gentleman sits on the police commission as well, and no one's asking questions. And
here's another thing you guys could ask. Senegal. That was supposed to come to the city, and the city was supposed to assume the operations. The mayor just basically gave them a contract for another 10 years, I believe it is,
mm-hmm.
at $10 million. And part of the deal was they'd get $1 million each year for energy savings. They met the energy savings a couple years ago.
Right.
So how are you feeling now for energy savings that you made a couple years ago? Interesting.
Yeah, and there's a second digester being in place, a mirror in the works, correct?
Yeah, and basically, we pay Centerville to build it. You know who pays their diesel? You know who pays their fair quad? You know who pays basically all their bills?
We do.
Yes!
The city paid, even though part of the contract was Centerville was supposed to pay it, eat the cost themselves, right?
They don't eat the cost. What they do is turn around and bill us.
And I understand that, for example, we reported on this years back that Senegal was using and the resources of the city and not having to pay for it, account for it, plus the money that they got in contract. And then I think, was it Alan? Who is the guy that...
Alan Perry. He's now a DRC for them.
Mm-hmm. But he was a city employee
Yes.
And then he steps out of role and go and work for them after that, and he was... So nothing, and the taxpayer is taking it big time now at Sand Island on all issues.
But Sand Island, we run, compared to the other two regions, we actually run pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But if the corruption is bad at Sand Island, imagine the other two areas.
Oh, yeah. And
it's not the city, it's not the operators, mechanics, electricians in these plants. It's the executive staff.
Yes. Yeah, and let me say something right now, because it gets all muddied. Many times I report about the city. The only way I know about 99.9% of the information I have is city workers are honest enough to call me. The problem is when they come to me and give the information, it's substantial. Somebody should be going to jail, but instead the city council is not receptive. Do nothing. They sit on their ass and do nothing, and then go through these long drawn meetings and hearings, and the mayor is not going to be responsive. And so we got corruption in the executive level at all levels.
And I've even emailed the Republican side of the city council.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen nothing.
Well, they're still busy with trying to figure out if men should go in bathrooms or whatever. I don't know.
But honestly, the mayor, if he's going to be so honest like he says he is, could do an independent audit.
Mm-hmm.
What were you head of an independent audit for?
Yeah, he is. I think that he's so full of his own vinegar, and the people are so used to drinking his Kool-Aid, that it's going to take... I don't know why the FBI can't find some way to come in here and investigate, because it's clear. You know, just driving by, you can see corruption at Sand Island and in the wastewater treatment.
And this is like... This is what just frustrates me, and that's why I'm probably going to move. You got a rail that's going to cost $7 billion. That's just a rough estimate. I'm saying it's probably going to be $10 to $12 billion, just to construct.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
We don't know how much it's going to off, how much the operation is going to be. So we'll just say $10 billion for rail. Now, you have a city pension fund, which is, what, $6 billion in
the hole? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's $16 billion. Now you have maintenance for all other city things, which is, what, $150, $200 million?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with all these things that the city owes money for, say, we'll just say $20 billion. Where the money going to come from? You only got like 1 million people in the city. You only have 500,000 homes. Where is the money going to come from?
Yeah.
We're going to end up doing like a lot of the cities in California, Detroit. The city's going to go bankrupt. You know who's going to eat this pile of crap?
We are.
Oh, it could be the city. It's not necessarily the city taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the union leaders that pull their heads out of their ass.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen, they're going to get in bankruptcy, because it's out in New Jersey, and their Supreme Court said is, no more money. I don't have to pay you, union guys.
Right, and union guys better listen up. They're thinking...
You're going to eat the pile of crap. Because your pension funds are going to get cut in half. I don't have to pay you medical.
And
you know that $1,000 you're expecting a month? Yeah, you can get about $500 now.
Yeah, I had this same conversation, not as deep, but was that... With these pensions that are coming due and people retiring and what have you, many of the new guys in the unions saying, oh, bring in it's more work, but then the cost of that work is draining the city coffers.
And to prove my point, So you have to order that didn't have to pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to this city, this new hybrid plan, I pay 6% of my paycheck goes to the pension fund. The new guys, starting from 2012, they're paying 8% of the paycheck. So now you see a trend of, wow, we keep hiring new guys. You guys are going to have to pay more. And the reason you're paying more is because you have to pay for the guys who already retired.
Mm-hmm.
That 6% and 8% ain't covering your retirement. That's covering the guys who retired.
Wow.
So that is what, you know, we beat around the bush and picking little subjects. The mayor is doing a nice little job of, hey, let's keep everybody focused on rail. That's not, nobody's talking about Milani building all these new homes. How are you going to, what's the infrastructure? Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
Kakaako, who's paying for that?
And they're seeing this as a win-win. But speaking, going back a bit to ferric chloride, the contract was 12-3-2015. Basically, when they wanted, that was a closing date, the due date on that. And hold on here, before, so that, because I usually get questions, people, it wasn't clear what you mentioned. And let me just say, DEI, I'm going to walk this again. We're talking about Mark Tilker. DEI Environmental Services, who provides many services to the city. One of the members or owners, DEI Environmental Services is registrant is Phoenix LLC, Phoenix 5 LLC. The agent name is Marathon Group. You go to Phoenix and look to see who Phoenix is, it'll say it's managed by members, Marathon Group. If you go and then look at Marathon Group, you'll find that Mark agent name is Mark Tilker. And then Marathon Group LLC is the Eam Family Partnership, Kubota, Frederick Kubota, and Mark Tilker as members. So then you go back to BEI, and it's, again, Phoenix LLC Marathon Group. So how is it that he can, and he was appointed, I think, in 2005, but he's currently Mark C. Tilker. I think with that kind of the police commission is, I believe it's compromised too, just as in appearance that when I know what's going on with BEI and the acquisition and the sale and the dealings of the ferric chloride as an example.
Well, it's easy. I mean, you got Ann Kobayashi and Kaika Anderson who say they're against rail, yet we take gifts from friends from rail. Remember now, they sued the Ethics Commission and won.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't accept gifts, you know, from a heart. We accepted gifts from friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the police guy's going to say is, oh, no, these are my friends, so I don't have a, you know, ethics problem.
Well, I think that when you look, there's a photograph I have. I'm going to publish it on my website where you see Ikaika Anderson and Hanabusa and Carlisle and I can't even think of her name. She does so little. The congresswoman. It's, you know, she's not prominent, but anyway.
Yeah, but then I'm going to be
Vice Governor, Lieutenant Governor Hirano.
Mayono?
Hirano.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's sad when you have such stature and nobody can, your name doesn't flow off their lips so easily. That means you're doing nothing.
But you know, nothing against Ben. I like Ben. I know he fought this pay-to-play program,
mm-hmm.
which is back in style. I mean, I'm sorry to say it's back.
Oh, brother, you ain't lying. And Ben tried to put a cap on some of that even when he was in office. But remember now, he also had Sam Kaleo on his team, too. So, Kaleo, there was a lot of hanky-panky going on.
Yeah.
And so it's like, God, you just when you're ready to embrace someone, you go, oh, no, you're sticky. See, something's wrong here, you know. But the digester, and I got 5 more minutes here, but I'm going to do some more talk. If you could call me back, join me in the next hour. But this digester.
I'm not sure because I had to actually get in the car here and take my family somewhere, but I'll give you a call back.
All right, give me a call back then, and we'll listen. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Folks, I know it's hard to discern or place my function or what I'm doing in, as a putting it on the shelf of importance in your lives. Probably not. It could be, you know, in the inside of your, the back of your mind, you could say, there he goes again meddling. There he goes again meddling. And that's rather dismissive. For me, I haven't met any of you, many of them, and the ones that I do meet, it's such a great pleasure, and many of you know and they share with me that they get it. But understand something. If Paul Revere was the guy who ran and said, the British are coming, and the British are coming, and we reacted in a fashion that alarmed and alerted us, and we were able to prepare, come up with a strategy to counter their coming. Think in those same terms. I'm not Paul Revere. I'm a horse's ass, probably, but not can't ride a horse. But for many of you out there, don't dismiss this. This is reality. This is what's happening, and it's so voluminous in the behavior of the people involved is so disrespectful that I understand you can't imagine it. You can't believe that a guy as cuddly and cute as Kurt Caldwell could do such nasty deeds. But it's just not left up to him. There is a systemic problem of corruption, and it has gotten itself in every plank of the floor. It's rotten to the core. So it's not about Kirk. It's about a system that is flawed and rotten and decayed, and you are paying for it. And everything that one comes along and say they're going to fix it, it's nothing but a Band-Aid. Nothing. So if you are inclined to dismiss what I say and figure that, well, it's not CBS or NBC or whatever, that's okay. The facts will never change with me. The truth will never change. So what you do with it, that's up to you. So we'll be back in the next hour, and this is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah. Jack Knight in the Dakota House. All we want to do is make you bounce. Monifa, could you turn me out? Show me what your thing is all about. Jack Knight in the Dakota House. All we want to do is make you bounce. Monifa, could you turn me out? Show me what your thing is all about.
Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K1.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 AM on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
I'm in the studio with these Harry Wasser. Harry Wasser.
We'll be right back. being here sometimes hard to find.
Well,
you may be doing all of the right things, but doing them at the wrong time.
Well,
if your reason ain't good enough for you, try this reason of mine. Well, I know a way we can all be free. Come on, everybody, sing along with me.
We got to feel this world with love.
I need your help now.
Come on. Feel this world with love.
Can't do it by myself.
Much time. We got to treat each other like sisters and brothers while it's still fresh on our minds. Don't you be afraid to join the parade. We need a big strong line. Well, now I know a way we can all be free. Come on.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here. KWAI1080AM.com or CarolCox.com. You can go there and pick up the live stream. And going back to our subject, hopefully, if this is the gentleman call. Caller, are you there?
I'm going to wait for the other call if it's more convenient for you.
Well, we can talk. In fact, I was going to, right here in my hand was something you and I spoke about last week, and I want to shine a little more light on it. I don't know if it was an accurate statement or inaccurate, and I nodded my head, so I'm just as agreement to some degree that, and I may have misinformed the listeners to a degree or suggested the wrong answer, but let me just say, we talked about who represented the city council.
Yes.
Legally.
Yes.
It was just something, and I know better. I know that they exist. This is the council services. And the council, the Office of Council Services provides comprehensive research and reference services for the city council.
Yes.
Conducts research for the enactment of or consideration of legislation and serves in an advisory or consultative capacity for the council and its committees. Powers and duties. So the section 3-107.7 revised charter of the city and county of Honolulu authorizes the city council to establish the Office of Council Services to assist it in the exercise of its legislative power.
Yes.
OCS is quote, a necessary adjunct to and is supportive of the policy formulation or legislative role of the city council, end quote, a tool for the decision-making to assist in analyzing the city's policies and financial programs for their effectiveness and their adequacy. and in identifying alternative programs, policies, and major problems which endanger the public's interest and welfare. So since 1993, OCS has served as a reviser of ordinances. So here's some of the services, and I'll get with you. Services performed by OCS: conducts independent and comprehensive research necessary for the enactment of legislation upon the request of the council, provides assistance to the council standing committees by conducting background research, gathering pertinent data, and serving a resources person to the committee, and supports meetings of the council, analyzes executive branch proposals, programs, bills, and reports at the request of the council, provides legal research and advice at the council, prepares bills and resolutions requested by the council members, analyzes, prepares amendments for, and monitors the execution and city heart of the city's heart operating and capital budgets. Again, analyzes, prepares amendments for, and monitors the execution of the city's heart operating and capital budget, assists in review and preparation of the legislative budget, provides information to individual council members by letter, memorandum, personal or telephone references, conferences, or electronic communication, prepares land use maps, and provides GIS services, serves as reviser of ordinances, and supervises the revision, codification, and printing of the revised ordinances, maintains web pages and database for the revised ordinances and city policy. So there is no one in the city council can say that they didn't know, because they have at their disposal an army of lawyers. So on their side, so, you know, if the corp council is failing them, then they still have Big Brother on their right. So, and they also assist the council members in their performance as trustees of the Kapi'olani Park, and assist the council in fulfilling the responsibilities as a member of the Hawaii State Association of Counties. And that is the Office of Council Services, and you can find them on the city website if you have any questions. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, the court council, yes. Thank you so much for that explanation.
Office of Council Services, not court council.
It's different?
Different.
Because court council is the one that's referred to when they testify.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just wanting to make sure that we believe. Let's see if this is, I didn't want to keep the other person waiting. Let me just try that and hold on.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I got it. Disconnect that. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're just on the way.
You there? Hello? Are you there, King?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, let's take up where we left off at. I had a question. The digesters, are they actually processing the fecal matter as they claim they would be, and they're able to sell it, and are they making any profit?
What was I guess, sir?
This is regarding the digesters.
Yes.
Are they... Do me a favor, try call back. We got a glitch here. Are you there? Old system here. He'll try call back. Anyway, my question was the digesters, the second one that is being installed. Caller, thank you for calling back. Go ahead. You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It had a feedback. Must have a radio on. Anyway, go ahead. This is Robert, right? Hello?
Yeah, what again?
You have... Turn your radio down in the background.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead. What you have comments?
Comment on the digester?
Yes.
Well, they got a new one from Bill.
Mm-hmm. So...
I really don't have anything other than that.
Are they selling the manure that they supposedly drying and processing?
Yes, the new farm spices.
New farm?
Yeah, NIU.
Okay.
And they also put it on the golf courses and stuff like that. So nothing at Cinedrill. They make a good product.
So they, and a lot of it is taken to the H-Power and burned too, right?
H-Power goes to the landfill.
And the landfill if it's too wet. So these digesters are really not doing what they were touted to be, correct? They were supposed to solve our problems and we were going to make money hand over fist and...
No. When you got to pay a company $10 million, you're not getting money back from them,
And what was that staffing like at the Cinedrill? I understand it was a skeleton crew at one time.
I think at one time they had like three or four guys. They're down to about maybe eight guys, I believe.
And some of the complaints were some city worker, regular city workers, were actually having to fill in for some of the Cinedrill workers because they weren't on site.
Oh, not necessarily. We weren't doing their job, but they were so short-handed. They had a few fires that they weren't there, so we had to, we found it. We did what we had to, fight fires or do whatever.
So, in your letter to me, I was reading that, and thank you so very much. I mean, the public don't realize that, like I said earlier, that the worker in the system, city system, are honest people. It's that is exactly there.
You know, no matter what person you get, you're going to have a good month. You're going to have one or two monkeys who try to scam the system. I don't care where you go, you're going to have those.
Yeah.
But in general, most city workers, they go to work, try to do their job, but you always got those monkeys you got to deal with.
Yeah, you talked about twice now within the last two to three years, a regional supervisor has been suspended by the department's chief. First one was appealed and won by the regional, but department yet to pay him back pay.
Oh, yeah, so... The Sam Island Regional got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
He won. He basically fought it. He went to what board is that? The Civics. I'm having a brain fart. Anyways, he won. The city refuses to pay him back, give him back his leave or anything like that, until the Civic Board gives them a letter saying they have to pay him back.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're creating a hostile workplace. It's not an open lawsuit from this individual.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So it's not over yet, though.
Mm-hmm.
So this superintendent had a female employee come to him. She basically, and not just her, but there's a lot of other employees, came to him about another employee who was creating a hostile workplace. This other employee, because nobody celebrated her birthday, she threw a fit. Do stuff in her office. She yells at people. So the superintendent went to the chief of the division and said, hey, I got a complaint. My own secretary is crying about this individual. And this individual is causing this problem is in your chain of command, chief. You need to go down and, correct the problem. Instead, he turned around and suspends the regional superintendent for a week. This basically tells me the city is openly acknowledging we like hostile workplaces. And if you're going to bring up a problem about somebody else, we're just going to suspend you.
Wow. So you're suggesting that this is at these facilities, city facilities, they're hostile.
Oh, yeah, they're hostile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you not put it otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a complaint up to the executive level, the guy in charge of all the executives, and he suspends you?
Right.
Bring a whistleblower?
Yeah. You mentioned the wastewater treatment facilities are experiencing a harder and harder time in meeting federally and state mandated sanitary treatment because of interference. First, we have contractors.
Mm-hmm. And let me put it this way. You go to any other state, the sewer line maintenance falls under the sewer plants.
Mm-hmm.
So everything goes through the sewer plant, has to be treated by the sewer plants. The sewer, that's minor, because all it does is just carry from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
In this state, the city and county keeps it separate. The director comes from CSM. They're in charge of the sewer line maintenance. And she has, from the beginning, shortchanged the sewer plant side. Manning. They're not hiring maintenance guys. Parts. I mean, everything is, she don't care.
Mm. So you said we're using emergency orders to meet our federally mandated requirements, whereas I could order 30 to 60 polymer 250-gallon totes at one time, have them shipped by boat a month or two before I need them. We're now ordering them short notice and ordering two totes and paying $5,000. Wow.
Yeah.
To have them air freight them in because they're dragging their feet, so... What would it cost for if you did it in an anticipated, ordered in a timely fashion? How much would it cost?
That one I'm not sure.
For the two totes?
We usually do it 6 months. You know, we order 6 months in advance.
Mm-hmm. And that would.
And then, you know, you'll get 60, 70 totes in at one time.
Oh, I see.
And then, you know, right 2 months before your run out, you do another order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, purchasing... nothing against purchasing, but they do the whole city. You know, every other state, sewer guys have their own purchasing, not here.
Wow.
So, when I have to do an order, I gotta wait a year. Now, if it's an emergency, the emergency for me is I need it now. Well, for the city and county, it's you might get it in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So, do you see the EPA involved in them, around those, snooping around or doing anything to... make
no.
sure that nothing, and
no.
it's just left to their own accord.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, anything else?
Not at the moment, but I want to take it some more. I'll send you an email.
Please, and hey, thank you so much. I'm pretty sure those listening will appreciate learning about it or knowing or hearing, and I know I do, so thank you so very much.
All right, sir. Yeah, right. Good one.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, and we're back. And Richard, if you're listening, you can call in and we can chat there. But the city and county of Honolulu cost us a lot of money. And before I go to this call, one of the things, if you want to know what's really, you know, when we had the issues with the water bills and how much they cost, and they were estimating them and they weren't accurate, and some people were paying five times the amount that they would actually use, or whatever the allegations were. Well, if the amount of water that is being estimated coming into the house, then here's the downside of that. The sewer is... amount of water that they charge you for is dictated by the amount coming in, influent. So if you're not being charged accurately and cheated at the front door, and when you flush, you're being cheated there too. And so, once again, there should be a federal investigation. There should be an investigation of sort that the people shouldn't have to prove their point. There should be an audit. An audit that's independent, not one that apologetic, that we thank them for helping us. You damn right you helped us. You opened the door, and if not, we would have gotten a search warrant and searched your records and conducted an audit. That's the kind of behavior I want to see in this city now, because everything else is, it's, oh, hi, how you doing, John? John, you know why I'm here? I'm here to... you know, to do an audit. You know, I'm sure sorry to bother you, John, but, you know, people, there's a lot of rumors that you're ripping them off. Well, yeah, but, you know, between you and me, it's always something like that, John. You know, restless taxpayers, right? We get that kind of nonsense. I want to see a letter from the auditor's office that says, thank you. We looked into this. This is what we found. To hell with you. You deal with it. Not me. I don't have to be apologetic. I mean, I'm saying not be disrespectful, but there just seemed to be nobody wearing the badge. No one's polishing the badge. No one's proud to have that badge shining, and when they walk in the door, the guy is so damn nervous about his crookedness that he collapsed on the floor, and you have to get somebody else to stand in for him while you conduct the audit. That's the only thing that's going to rescue us from this fraud. Carla, go ahead, comments.
No, thank you very much. Your last comment about the audit should be forensic and the consequences should be both civil and penal. However, I don't know exactly how that can be done. The evidence is there from so many different sources. It's unbelievable. As I see this, I wanted to support you. We mentioned before at the beginning in terms of storage tank, truck transfers, water main, rescue boats, the stadium, on and on and on. So it's all empirical validity from me. I listen as often as I can and take notes. It's not necessarily a total conspiracy, but it's definitely a consensus on rail from every conceivable source, both public and private. And the Hart Executive Board themselves said that the general excise tax was railroaded through the council and the people, and that the Hart Executive Board needs new governance. And let me go to the Charter Commission. I went before them on behalf of the handy van. Jesse Suki was the charter commissioner at the front of the table. And I pleaded for some concern about handy van, etc. I didn't realize that Jesse Suki was for the rail before he ever became charter commissioner. And now Jesse Suki is on the charter executive board. And let me jump to this expert panel for the vendors that picked the rail. Their names are Tober, Knight, Barisoni, Colasar, and Thomas Brevidoris. And they met on Friday, Monday holiday, met Wednesday, and on Friday they picked steel wheel on steel rail with Murphy. And The Executive Board of Hart often refers to Tober within the last couple of months in terms of he saying that Tober saying from Parsons Brinkerhoff that the Hart Board is doing an excellent job. And if you ever see the recording or hear the tapes or get the minutes, it could be verified.
Okay, so are you suggesting that they were doing something underhanded?
Fraud, deceit, and all you'd have to do is read the... I have both the paratransit copy of the audit for paratransit.
Okay.
I have that also for Hart, 124 pages.
No, I have it too, but what other shenanigans?
Well, everything is starting at the very beginning when you say that we're going to deal with the underground wiring to it. We'll do that when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to Radford High School when I asked an engineer. When you go to the Ann Kobayashi asking Horner, you got, after only two or three pillars were put up, you put up two or three pillars, Mr. Horner, and now I have your financial plan in front of me. You don't have enough money to complete the project. What are you going to do? He said, what do you want to do? Send the boys back to the bench? And so many more instances. It was never about moving people, public rapid transit. It was all about TOD, transit-oriented development.
So going back a little bit, you know how I like to pull at the loose strings on a sweater.
Absolutely.
And we want exposure. So back to this term conspiracy, I characterize it as the system is a conspiracy and that is fraudulent, right? And you say the whole system isn't. But let's just look at the basic definition. And it, consistent with what you're saying, that they sit around and they collude, right?
Yes.
They plot, right?
Yes.
They scheme.
Yes.
They use tricks.
Yes.
They use subterfuge, right?
Yes.
And they racket, right? And then they, with all this that they offer us, now this is just why I'm never apologetic when I say things like this, and I always seize the opportunity to say to you, it's no need to come out and be apologetic for them. To hell with them. This is what they are. They're thieves. They're stealing from us. They're causing harm to the taxpayer. They're colluding, and they're manipulating the results. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. So don't misconstrue my...
Oh, no, I understand.
I'm not a total conspiracy.
No, I understand. But if I say that it's corrupt, no need for you to come back and say, well, not the whole system in parts.
It's all corrupt, except they never, all of these entities never sat down, let's say,
right,
in a billion, and conspired. It's all consensus in terms of talking to each other and coming to the same conclusion for their own benefit.
And they collaborate with one another, right?
Absolutely.
And they're conniving.
Yes.
Right? And so... In every step of the way, and unfortunately, I think if we could somehow take away that aspect or that element or the thought that the rail is going to do something good for us. And the mayor said in his campaign stomp there on city grounds that we chose the rail because there's no other alternative. And then he began to lay out electric cars and driverless cars and what have you. You understand? So.
Yes.
Again, I think on this hike that you and I are going up this mountain, those steps that we've already taken, we can leave them be and just remember them on the way back down. But going up, these are corrupt people.
Yes.
They're conniving. They manipulate. They in place in the media. They have their relationships. Look who the guy that is in the media, they just named him Matsumoto, right?
Yes.
He's on the board of publishing or something related to the Star Advertiser, and the Star Advertiser will drag his feet on printing articles, and the KGMB sat there and asked the mayor softball questions when they have in their hands knowledge of complaints of ethic violations of the mayor, right?
Yes.
So the loser here is the public.
Yes.
You know, and so, but go ahead.
Well, it's... And this is indicative of everything that occurred in terms of the whole processes. And that is the expert panel. Who picked them? Murphy picked them. They met in Murphy's office. Murphy's staff helped them. They gave them information, slides, PowerPoint, printed documents. No discussion, no minutes. And this is how the expert panel was picked. Now, relate this to everything we've ever talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how it works. Granted, the expert panel, but what does the public believe? Well, what they say in media and so forth is, well, the expert panel picks steel wheel on steel rail. Wait a minute, you've got many variables. You've got magnetic levitation. You've got the Philia system, which runs on magnets. You've got the monorail. You've got rubber on concrete. I've got all the documents of possibilities. And they would say it was not affordable. But what we are learning, the statistics and the numbers come from heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they come from heart and they're accepted by any government agency, they're finding out now that all the numbers, for example, in the audit that we just got, they're all suspect.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then when you say, well, are they corrupt? Of course they are. And it's simply that they act with impunity. And now my question is this. It seems to me that coming out with the audit and all the indications that they never had enough money, they don't now and they don't in the future, and I could go to 5307, but I'm not the handy man where they took $210 million and semantically said they didn't, but anyway. But now what happens? What are the consequences of all of this empirical evidence that there is corruption?
Well, you got me. I really don't know. Because you know, if you and I prescribed or suggested what punishment, then we would be criticized and ridiculed for
being too harsh.
Because
they were just taking a few cookies out of the cookie jar. Cox, you're overreacting.
No, too late already. No, there's got to be more than just talk now. And I'm not exactly how it should happen. It's up to the people for sure.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to talk to these people. They're convinced. I've been before them so many times. And when you talk to them, it's already a done deal, and they're very polite and accepting all your testimony. But it's a done deal already.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to 2008. So I'm not talking as if I've just started. I'm giving the nominative first-person figure, mm-hmm. but now I want to try to establish some validity to my own comments.
Well, no, you're valid. It's just that you're dealing with a circus clown.
Yes.
You know, and a group of them, but they're really smart because they have their eye on the prize. It's all about... They're not conspiring to say, let's put the best sewage systems in.
Nope.
They're not conspiring to say, let's put the best mode of transportation. See, none of that is their motivation. So
Nope. This
is the difficult thing to have put up on us, in that we got this rail and it looked like it's something of promise, when in fact it's... going to be nothing. They can't even describe who's going to drive it or handle it. They don't have a safety mechanism. They don't have the number of people going to ride it. It's morphing into whatever. It's just too many what-ifs, right?
Yeah, I've heard Grabowskis try to explain how they're going to deal with the problems they have now. One is more revenue, and of course that comes from the taxpayers. But the other is a change in the, one, they won't put up any safety devices before the train arrives. Number two, they may not have fare boxes so that you will be on an honor system.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, they will save money.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Grabowskis himself. And Mr. Cox.
To utter the word, they suggested it could be an honor system. So if it's an honor system, you just walk up, drop some money in the bank, and the thing. So here's the danger of that. Let's say every passenger is going to be honest and honorable and depositing their pay, their fee, right?
Yes.
Here's the danger. There's no record, so how much will the people that we know that will already steal and fraudulently practice, do things and misspend money, how would we know what is being taken in?
By them saying that there would not necessarily be the need for any fare boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the word honesty, but they didn't use the word honesty. But if there are no fare boxes to save money, what are the alternatives to no fare boxes?
Yeah, that's like the fox sitting and having conversation with the hens and saying, you guys could go on vacation, not a problem. We'll watch eggs for you, no problem.
Yeah, and these letters that have been coming from the Federal Transportation Agency and to the mayor and to other entities here, they have to be investigated, because if you have people like Anderson who is going to say that it's an all-or-nothing deal, I think you've got to go to the original source, which is the Federal Transportation Agency, to find out exactly what they said. They sent three people or four people from the council back to the Federal Transportation Agency, and these people come back and tell us what the Federal Transportation Agency wants. They're all rail people. They are all for the rail.
Right, right.
And so, therefore, what we're getting information the same way we're getting information from Hart.
Yeah. Well, anyway, unfortunately, when Anderson worked for Barbara Marshall, and
yes.
this is the danger of the politics in the state of Hawaii, in that you worked for someone, you may have been just emptying the trash or learning your way around the office, and then she passes, unfortunately. And then, for some reason, everybody suggested, well, he worked under her, and so therefore, You understand, and so...
Mr. Cox, at this point, I have to defend Barbara Marshall.
No, don't waste my time, air time. This isn't about defending anyone. It doesn't need to go to that angle. We're not...
Well, don't use her.
No. You must listen before speaking. I didn't say anything about Barbara Marshall other than he worked for her, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so learn to listen to me because I speak funny. I have a southern accent and a lack of verbiage and vernacular, but just make sure that you listen before, because I don't want to prepare a show and then engage in mental warfare about things that really, they're off target. They're not even relevant. I did not say anything about Barbara Marshall. I said he worked for her, and so therefore, in fact, it was a complimentary that people see that he was working for her, so therefore it automatically assume that he's going to be good.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. I appreciate your program. You have the voice. And thanks so much for indulging us. I appreciate it.
All righty, anytime. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Aloha. So we're going to change horses in the middle of the stream, so to speak. And I'm going to get back to that boat. And why am I interested? I want you to enjoy, and this is just not my perspective, but it's something I've run back, and I want to know why would the mayor, his director of emergency services, Mark Rigg, why HCDA, why Todd Oppo, why Howard Hughes Corporation or Ward Village Corporation would go to such extreme measures and take such giant steps to... This is a little boat, folks. It's a boat that the average Joe probably would punch the boat dealer for charging him that amount of money for such a boat. To be honest with you, it's a Boston Whaler, gray in color. They put some dye in the fiberglass or the paint, and that's all it is. It's there are better boats out there. They could have stayed right here and bought a Macaw. There's a couple of boats that are built here, a Force or some other boats could have been used. But I wanted to know, and why is it that the media drags its feet on talking about this? They ran and told us, oh, there's a new boat coming to town. But and there's a lot of stuff that was tossed around there. So you know that I've talked about this. And in 2014 now, let's start off with this. This is about a little boat. Nothing more. It doesn't have missiles on it. It doesn't have a submarine. It does not sink and float and swim underwater. It does not fly. It does not. It's nothing. And it'll require human beings and three or four men to man it to even be functional or so usable. But why all of this hoopla and the fanfare? So in August 28, 2014, they did a HCDA invest in, this is a press release, HCDA invests in public safety at Kingwalo Basin Harbor. And the Hawaii Community Development Authority and Ward Villages today made a major investment in the future Honolulu Emergency Services Department Lifeguard Response Station at Kiwala Basin. The donation to the city and county of Honolulu will go toward facility improvements and equipment to ensure lifeguards and EMS personnel are well equipped to protect and save lives around Kaka'ako waterfront area. Okay. Now, that was done on August 28, 2014. So, apparently, this press release didn't catch anybody and get any attention, to spread the big lie because, big gift. It was a boat going to be. So, this press release, I guess it just hit a thud, just dead in the water. No response from the media. So, that was that one. Now, okay, so let's try it again, Mr. Mayor and ACDA and Ward Villages. We didn't do good so well in getting in that first press release and passing out BS to the public and pulling wool over their eyes. Let's try that again. So, in 2015, November, now remember in August of 2014, they sent out a press release about this boat that, by the way, hadn't landed on the shores here, but they say in 2014, the boat was here and it was donated and all of that was in place. Well, they didn't get any fanfare, any recognition, or didn't get to lie to the public as in such the masses. So what happened? They came back in 2015. New lifeguard station at Kiwala Basin Harbor ready to save lives. Honolulu's first emergency response station situated directly on the water to ensure safety on Oahu's south shore. Wow. But that one follows the one in 2014 that bragging about the same boat. So how many damn boats come ashore here? Neither one of them, in any instance, have arrived yet. So just follow me on this. And so they, this new emergency, quoting them, today announced the completion of the city's emergency services department lifeguard station at Kiwala Basin. This was in 2015. Now, 2014, they'd say the same lie. But now, 2015, they must think you have a short memory. So, a master plan neighborhood being developed by the Howard Hughes Corporation today announced the completion of the city's emergency services department lifeguard station at Kiwala Basin Harbor. The brand new facility is the city's first emergency response station situated directly on the water and will serve as a central location for safe access to the ocean along Oahu's shores. As I've pointed out to you, there is no new building. It's the old funky building that's there with a room, dusty room that they managed to use illegally. City employees, lifeguards, can go and do carpentry work. They say there were hoists. There are no hoists there. They, you know. So anyway, so 2014 they do a press release for the same boat saying there was a state-of-the-art grand, no boat. 2015, they came back and told the same thing. And they made a lot of promises in this 2015 press release. So not to bore you with much of this, I want you to, let me just read one other. The facility located at the base of Kiwala Basin Harbor includes a brand new floating dock and an indoor response station where lifeguards can monitor activity along the south shore and host lifeguard training on a regular basis. Can't be done, folks. It's on the inside of the harbor. It's not facing the water. It's not on the front. It's inside the harbor. So, the HCDA's contribution to the station included a new rescue boat worth up to $120,000 to the city's Ocean Safety and Lifeguard Services Division, which will be the first of its kind on Oahu and support water rescues in Kiwala Basin Harbor and along Kaka'ako Shoreline. Ward Villages, who is the operator and manager of the Kiwala Basin Harbor, also donated $18,500 to the city to fund the construction of the dock, including an area to hoist rescue jet skis in and out of the water and an aluminum dock gangplank to safely transport patients to an awaiting ambulance. So the station is already being used by as a home base for lifeguards and emergency jet skis on the south shore and will house rescue boats in early 2016. Oh, now this is 2015. Okay. Well, listen to this. Now, this is in the 2015 press release. There's a thing called, in this press release, they attach a safe harbor statement. You know, when ward villages make statements and make representations that they were doing this and doing that and they were promising this and promising that. In that press release, there's a disclaimer. Safe harbor statement, quote, statements made in this press release that are not historical facts, including statements accompanied by words such as, quote, will, quote, believe, expect, enables, realize, plan, intend, assume, transform, and other words of similar expressions are forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1985. These statements are based on management's expectations, estimates, assumptions, and projections as the date of this release and are not guarantees of future performance. Actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied in these statements. Factors that could cause actual results to differ materially are set forth as risk factors in the Howard Hughes Corporation's filings with Securities and Exchange Commission, including its quarterly and annual reports. The Howard Hughes Corporation cautions you not to place undue reliance on the forward-looking statements contained in this release. The Howard Hughes Corporation undertake any obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements to reflect future events, information, or circumstances that arise after the date of this release. So this was the second press release now, and but be careful. Everything that was said in the press release, they were just forward-looking statements. Can't hold us accountable. So in 2016, they get a new player, Governor David Ige, for the same darn boat. Now here's three press releases over 3 years with the same garbage. Representations that you can't really hold their feet to the fire because it may not be true. So, April 13, 2016, the governor, David E.A. himself, right along with Mayor Caldwell, who had participated in the Erlogan shenanigans and the BS, and they recruited David E.A. So nobody's really thinking, but let's just pull the wool over the eyes of the public for the sake of big business. Now, why would you go to such extent, three press releases for one boat over a three-year period, to do what? Carla, go ahead with your comment or question.
Morning, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, hanging in, brother. Hey, listen, this is not possible unless you have a captive audience. What's the guy's name in Hitler's Germany? Was a propaganda manager?
Yeah.
Goebbels or something?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, we have the same thing, yeah? It's going on, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from every which way but loose, yeah?
Yeah.
You know? Every which way but loose. And nothing like having a so-called mass transit system built with taxpayers, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
In the areas that you plan to, the new Waikiki, yeah?
Right, right.
The new Waikiki. It's a Wallow Basin to Coalina.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, this is their Waikiki, not your Waikiki.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Remember the days it used to be your Waikiki?
Well, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go to Waikiki until I was 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
Then I got Shanghai to the Army recruiting station.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think that's how it is when you're a country jack. Okay,
yeah.
Brother.
Hey, well, thank you.
God bless.
Aloha. Yeah, folks, I like my little role here. It really feels good to see this because it's my way of doing something. And I don't know what you folks are going to do, but come election time, I think the one way of stopping it is don't vote the same people in again. And so you might ask yourself, well, do I want a person that's ignorant of the system, or do I want a person that's smart and knows the system, but a system that it only works for themselves and their friends? So what do you lose? It's not the lesser of two evils. It's about taxing yourself with making a decision, a simple decision. Because in all honesty, most of the things in the everyday workings, they are consulting the corporation council, council services if it's a city council. The mayor also consults. Now, he may go and do his own thing behind closed doors and after hours. But again, there are advisors, and they have clerks, and they have everybody to guide and steer them. So I guess the only thing that you really need to worry about is the ethics of an individual. You see, this whole thing about, well, he's been around, he knows the system. Well, yeah, that might be detriment to you and to all of us. You know, we didn't talk about the big tunnel out there in Kailua. How much is that going to cost? People don't bust rocks for nothing, for free. So how many dollars is that going to be? And how many cost overruns is that going to experience? So I'm here to say to you, watch and pick up the phone and call the TV stations and call the news stations and say to them, you know, you got to do something better than this. If you insist on bringing Kirk Caldwell on TV in the morning and ask the mayor questions, then let's us at least insist on them asking him questions. Questions like, you know, the chief of police is blah, 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 blah. You know, you notice he's backing up now. He first says, I think the chief should come on and spill his guts, and basically. And now he's been informed that, hey, you know, you can't do that. The chief has civil rights and what have you. So he's taken a different tack, you know. But I think the media owes us, because that's what they stand for, supposedly. That's what the FCC gave them. They say, we can let us buy the three stations, and we will make sure that news is delivered in its purest form. But we won't shape it. But apparently, that's not the game. There's something wrong. Don't be shy about it. If you have to bring yourself to just, hey, the newspaper need you. Because at the end of the day, they don't make money because they just print paper. They make money because they say, we have this segment of people, right? The city is broken up, or the state is, we know what different groups to target. And your marketing, that's what they sell. But they show numbers. So if you said, well, I don't want your paper until you start giving us some good news, true news, that has an impact. That's how we build a system, a better system, the fourth arm of government. It's gone down the lane in a different direction. So there's some answers to some of this, and it would be respectful, but when they start robbing us of the truth and then manipulating us, then I think it's time to just say, there's no need. It becomes entertainment. It's no longer news. So I'll see you next week, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. Go to carolcox.com, and you can get all of the good podcasts.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KW.